Cue the Luther.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, and the truth. Holding it down for my main man, Stan, sending blessings and praise to you wherever you are, because we know you upstairs doing what you do. Let's get started today, y'all. Hey, come on. Y'all come with me today. I need y'all. There's no better love. There's no better love, no better love than for self and kind. I was thinking about playing that a little bit longer. There's no better love than for self and kind. Thank you for joining the Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's a celebration today. We're honoring the life, legacy, and contributions of my main man, Stan Macklin. I might try to hold it together today, but if it can't, bless me, and I'm going to keep it going. But let's talk about the NAAEA. The NAAEA is the National African American Empowerment Association, organized and orchestrated for five principles of peace. That is politics. You have to have a political agenda, and you see the unrest that's going on in this society. And if you don't have a political agenda followed up by a serious economic agenda that covers all of your bases, see, we need money. And as soon as we realize we need money in order to function, in order to establish institutions that define our own reality, keep our families going, and to be able to build infrastructure, to manufacture, that's right, to create those things that we need in our lives, right, produce, right? We're producers, and we've been born and created to produce. So let's produce. Let's go on now. A is athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You have to have a athletic health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition agenda that speaks to taking care of your mind and your body and your life and your health, right? Your mental health and your emotional health and your physical health and your spiritual health. That's wellness, right? We have to be well because many of us are traumatized and we have to heal from those things in this society that continue to drive us insane. And then there's culture, cultural programs, relevant cultural programs that help us to maintain our balance, to understand who we are and to be proud of who we are, wherever we are, and that our children can be proud to know that we have books and magazines and other and TV shows, just to name a few, that represent us in the best light possible. So lastly, and most importantly, it's a comprehensive education. And we're about educating ourselves. That's what we must do. We cannot leave it to the system. We cannot leave it to the public sector to educate us, educate our children. We have to do that. That's our commitment to ourselves, to educate us, right, to redirect our minds from the conditioned states that many of us are in, where we can regulate ourselves to a place where we can function properly and become the best people that we can be. Again, today is a celebration of my main man, Stan. And so the first thing that I would do is I want to say a little bit about my friend and brother, because we've gone down this road, and I joke with him before the end of last year. I say, you know, we are celebrating our 30-year anniversary because we've been knowing each other for a long time. And so we've been friends for over 30 years. And, you know, I had an opportunity to talk with him about many things that were important to both of us. And, you know, he was the catalyst in many ways for helping me with my African education. And then along with supporting what Brother George had been teaching me for years along the way. And so I have to honor him as well in saying that I appreciate what you guys put into me, because I wouldn't be sitting here positively assured about who I am without you, brothers. And so back in the mid-2000s, we did the Finding You show together, which was good. And we have done so many projects. I mean, countless projects. And I'll just tell y'all one story before I go to a Brother George and the Willie Lynch moment. And then I'll tell you how I want to do this show. We would do programs, and with Stan, he was like me. He's a visionary. And sometimes anybody and everybody in my family and outside that know, sometimes we had projects. And he would say, all right, we're going to do this thing. And it might be seven people there. But he carried it on like it was 1,000 people in that place. And that was the development piece, because it was carrying out the mission. It was carrying out the project. And so as this thing continued to grow, he would call me up there and I would go. And he said, Ron, this is what we're doing today. And he'd say, are you staying? And I said, oh, I can stay tonight. I can. And I'll say, he said, all right, if I stay, he'll say, all right, we're going to do this program right here. And then we're going to go home and watch ourselves on the news. And guess what? The news at 11 will have us on there. And then another time in the morning, he said, let's go get a newspaper so we can see ourselves on the front page. And guess what? We'll be right on the front page. And if not on the front page, we will be on the second page in the newspaper. And that's just how he operated. So I'm going to slide on over to Brother George, and then we'll have a Willie Lynch moment, and I'll tell you the format for today. Brother George.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Well, I'm making it, brother. I'm like everyone else. You know, this week, one of our great contributors to our community moved on to the ancestral realm, and today we're going to celebrate him the best we know how. I say that in light of, I remember once that Dr. Bruce Bridges was speaking for us. And so, you know, I introduced him with his credentials from the different universities that he had received degrees from. And so before he started speaking, he said, a lot of times I would rather just be introduced as a brother from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that the education I received there was much greater than the one that I received at some of these universities. And so sometimes we have to understand that just because a brother doesn't have a doctoral degree or whatever, that doesn't make him any more valuable to the community than someone who is willing to sacrifice their time and their energy and their money to the cause of our people. And Stan was just that. Now today, I was asked to speak on a Kwanzaa principle and the Willie Lynch segment. So I'm going to start out with the Willie Lynch segment, and I'm going to read from one of Stan's favorites, The Iceman's Inheritance by Michael Bratt. This book is racist, for among other things, I will attempt to show that racism itself is a predisposition of but one race of mankind, the white race. I believe that I can show that our converging contemporary crisis, like racism itself, have their origin in the prehistory of the white race alone. We attribute various threats to our survival to man's folly, but this is a conscious and self-protecting euphemism. Nuclear war, environmental pollution, resource rape, all are primary threats to our survival, and all are the result of peculiarity, Caucasoid behavior, Caucasoid values, Caucasoid philosophy. There is no way to avoid the truth. The problem with the world is the white man. Now, I chose to do two principles of Kwanzaa because I think they're fitting at this time. The first one is staying always with quote, you know, that we need to stop getting in just to fit in. So I'm going to use Kuji Chagalin, which is self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. There's no better way than to say, stop getting in just to fit in. And the second is Kuumba, creativity. To always do as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than when we inherited it. And when he came on this planet back in the 50s, it was nothing like it is right now. So he contributed a great deal, and he gave as much as he could to our community. And I'm going to end this segment with these words. And this is also from a brother who passed on to the ancestral realm, Dr. Ashaka Musa Barashank. He used to always use this, but it's actually a quote by the last poet. Blessed are those who struggle. Oppression is worse than the grave. It is better to live and die for a noble cause than to live and die a slave. And that's me, brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Brother George. Great job, as always, for coming through and being our resident historian here at the NAAEA. So this is my format for today. I'm going to open all the lines, and if you're listening as well, you can always call in. The number is 845-277-9250, or you can text me if you know my number. And whatever you say on the text line is what I will share. But what I'm going to do right now is, and you can mute your phone if you like while you're on the line, but if you called in to the call line and you want to talk, I'm going to have an open forum today. So you might hear some rattling going on amongst us, but I'm opening the line for all of our friends and family. And hopefully we will have even somebody on here that is a relative of Stan as well. So, again, this is how I'm going to do the format. And, again, if you got some background noise, just mute your phone until you're ready to talk, but the lines are going to be open. And so as I started to talk about the NAAEA, I thought about how could I best celebrate this brother. And I got a lot of texts this week sending condolences out to, you know, our loss. And I said, what's the best way to do this? So I decided that I would play a clip and then we would talk about it until the clips that I have run out or my time run out. So here's the first one. And I want you to join me in celebrating my brother Stan Macklin on Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's Marvin Roan. And stay back, man. Stay. The deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man.
I
we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
All right. Said, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. The lines are open. Whatever you want to say, you can say. And thank you for calling in. Might be a whole lot of silence. Go ahead, brother.
I just want to comment on what he said about defining our own realities. And establishing our own institutions and do not fit in. Get what he said. Get in to fit in. Fit in to get in. You know, it just and we do a lot of that as a people. We just want to be recognized. We want to be accepted. We want to be just look at me and give me an opportunity. And it becomes me instead of us, and instead of trying to achieve something. And that's what Stan was about, that us. You know, I didn't personally know Stan. I never met him other than on the show, you know. But I know what he was about. You know, he and I grew up together, if you will. He turned 67 last year. I turned 68. You know, so we came through a lot of struggles together. You know, we lived the same things. We saw the same things, you know, and you could hear it in his voice and in his teachings that he was about us. You know, he said, "Remember, we were kings and queens." He would always say, "You know, that was us, and we need to get back to that again, defining our own reality of who we are and what we are about." And that's, you know, that's why I am. I'm all about that. You know, we need to do for self. We need to do for self and kind. You know, define what's real for us. You know, and in this system, I mean, every day now, it always been that way, but I don't think we haven't always seen it. But every day, this system, these people, as Brother George just said, the Caucasoids, the white folks, the Europeans, you know, reveal who they are every day before our eyes. And we have to start to accept that reality, you know, and define our reality and take our what's real to us out of their hands. You know, I mean, we say all these things about them, but yet we let them guide us and teach us and lead us and so forth, and you know, it's time we wake up. It's time that we have to do that. I don't know if it's a proper appropriate term, but we have to stop letting brothers like Stan and all those before Stan die in vain.
That's
you
right.
You know what I mean? We have to stop letting our brothers and sisters, our great brothers, die in vain. You know, if we're going to honor them, carry on their legacy, let
That's
them
right.
live on in us. You know, I tell folk all the time when I have a death in the family that's close to me, my mother, my father, whoever, people I know, I said, they live on in me. They're not dead. Look at me. You know, if you see me, you see my father.
That's
it's
right.
Like Jesus said in the Bible, when you see me, you see my Father.
That's right.
You know, when I walk, my daddy walking. When I talk, my daddy talking. You know, I mean, I'm one with my Father. We are one, and we live on. Eternal life is eternal. My individual life is not eternal, but life is eternal. And when I leave here, my sons will still be here, hopefully. My daughters be here, grandchildren,
right.
great-grandchildren. I will live on in them if I do my job while I'm here.
That's
like
right.
Like Brother Stan. You know, if we do what we're supposed to do as men and women while we're here, we'll never leave. Because we will live on in those that carry on our legacy. This is our heaven, our eternal life. And we have to, again, define our own reality. We have to define that so that when we do pass on, we're not gone. We're still here. You
That's
know,
right.
We're still here. I for one, believe that the original God, or the original creator, is not here anymore, but he's here in all of us and all of what he has passed on. You know, why would God make a law and not submit to it himself? A law of life is death. Okay? A law of life is death. So why would God make a law that he himself does not submit to? No. Life is eternal. God is eternal. But he's in us. That's the truth. The truth is the truth. The truth lives on forever. You can trick it up, tell lies about it, and deceive people and all that, but the truth remains the truth. You know, and it always will be the truth. You know, and as I say, brother, the brother lives on in all of us. You know, we carry him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, thank you, brother. I'm going to continue to move forward. Thank you. The lines are open, so if you hear people talking in the background, because it's open. Remember, at this point, your line is open, so if you make noise or you yawn or sneeze or sleep, everybody's going to hear you. So if you don't want to talk, mute your line until you're ready to talk. All right. So that's just what it. We're going to have, we like at home, we all just sitting around talking. So if somebody do something, that's just what's going to happen today because it's wide open. We're celebrating the life and legacy of my good friend and brother, Stan Macklin. And this is what Stan had to say about collaboration.
The world is in a serious condition. I mean, come on, this is no joke what's going on out here. And if we don't collaborate together to get it to the place where we make a difference, it's a sad, sad situation.
All right. Brother Stan says it's a sad, sad situation if we don't collaborate. All right. So I'm going to do one more thing. Is I'm going to go over to 0946. 0946, are you there?
I am here, and good afternoon. And I'm so glad that we are taking this time to celebrate Stan. And I think it's an important thing that what he's talking about as far as collaboration is concerned. And we spent 18 years. He always talks about creating an institution that creates our own reality. And the first institution that we are a part of are our families. And that's where we learn either how to collaborate or not collaborate. And then we bring that over into community affairs and all of that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I enjoyed about Stan, he seemed like a family man. He talked about his family. It seemed like he knew how to put his family first. It seemed like he had created systems by which I remember him talking about them having family meetings once a month. And I thought that was really neat. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a privilege to experience that kind of continuity as a family. So I think I think he was a good example of our first institution. That's our first line of defense, living in this white supremacy world, and we have to be responsible in that area. So I appreciate him expressing his love for his family, his wife, his children. It was obvious that he had a respect for them. And if we don't have that, then anything else that we create will not become much of anything anyway. So I appreciate him being an example of what it looks like to be a family man that's responsible in dealing with your family and then carrying that over into the community. I didn't see, you know, you have some people that they're so bound about the community and local, national, state, and all of that activity.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at how they are with their family, just raggedy and disjointed and all of that. And I think that Stan was a very good representation of what a balance of that looks like. And so I really appreciated that about him.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll say, I can tell you firsthand, they had and have an excellent family model in operation. That group, that clan, that clique sticks together. and a family that stays together, prays together. They were connected. They were united. They were affiliated. And when one move, all of them move. Right, so they moved to Harrisonburg. Everybody's in Harrisonburg, and that's how they operate. So thank you for that. I'm going to move on now to my next clip on self-awareness. Here, Stan Mackin on
self-awareness. What it's all about. And we know what to do, but we just got to do it. If we don't do it, then we become victims.
I'm going to play that again.
Self-awareness is what it's all about. And we know what to do, but we just got to do it. If we don't do it, then we become victims.
We have to do it, people. Stan gave us a whole blueprint. And as I went back listening to the shows, there was so many nuggets, jewels, information that we just kind of go by because, you know, we're just listening to the show in the moment. But that man gave me so much, and I said it in the article. This brother, although he was my friend, he was my mentor. He was mentoring me so closely as a friend, I didn't even know how he was mentoring me. That is the greatest gift that a person could give another one. And so I got a text in saying, "Hello, brother. Stan was a great leader for our people. His words left an imprint and made me more aware. Blessings." Right? So that comes from the text line of how Stan has impacted people's lives just by connecting and being a part of this show. So if you got something that you want to say, the lines are open right now. So it is your time to talk before I move on to the next clip. And if you got a lot of noise in your background, see if you can mute that for me until you're ready to talk. Somebody's building. All right. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to move on to the next clip. I'm going to have to mute that because somebody. Go ahead.
Good evening. Good evening.
Hey.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hey, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'd like to share
a little something about Stan before myself. And I just want to say he was a brother and a colleague in the ministry with me. He was a friend and he was an extended family member, connected. I really did appreciate Stan working with me in my ministry. And on Sunday evening, we have Bible study. And the Bible study started at 3:30. And I would start off with the Bible study. And I would come in and I would build it, like making the cake. I'll make the cake. And I was making the cake of righteousness. And he would put the icing on the cake. And he would tell, our theme was keep the keys to the kingdom. And he would put the affirmation. After I bake it, he put the icing on it. He affirmed. And that's what I really do appreciate and will miss. Him every Sunday evening, he will put his spiritual point of our Bible class, the keys to the kingdom. He used his keys. As of today, he used his keys to the kingdom. We have to earn our keys. And he earned his keys. He earned it into enter. He earned it with faith. He earned it with faithfulness. He opened the door through righteousness. He even used the key to obedience. And he used all those keys like law, the key of law, and the key of patience. It's a right many keys that we have to use to enter into the kingdom. So Stan, you put his little piece on the lesson. And his piece on the lesson, he will always leave something for us to remember, to hold fast to. And I would like to leave that this last little part with him, with you. I would like to leave the key of that Stan said. The key to the kingdom, to unlock the door, is something that you cannot expect someone else to do for you, to open that kingdom up for you. You must operate, no, you must do it yourself. If you have these keys, operate it in them for your life. You can turn the key to the doors to the kingdom. You can turn it through prayer. You could turn it through righteousness. You can turn it, the keys through faith. But you cannot enter their kingdom without the keys. To enter God's kingdom, you must have these keys. You can, there's no other way to get in to use any other key but the key of righteousness, the key of holiness, the key of obedience. Excuse me. So Stan left this with us to enter into the kingdom of God. And I always remember him every Sunday evening at 3:30. I always call him up, and when he put that icing on the cake, he puts the icing on the cake. So the last time I talked with him, he was talking about our little song that we made. Let go and let God have his way. And he did. He let go. He didn't want to let go, but he let go. And he let God have his way. So I just want to say that one day I will have to let go and let God have his way, that I may see my brother in eternal life. To have eternal life, I must let go and let God have his way. Peace and blessings unto his family. Peace and blessings and resting in the eternal life to Stan, my brother. Peace. That's my little
peace
for saying that.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to say it. Thank you, Mama. That's my mama, y'all. She's going to be right there on the spot. All right. So, you know, Stan was just more than my talk show co-host. He was a community servant. He was a minister. He was an entrepreneur, right? And he was a family man. He did it all. He covered all bases. And he was a world traveler. He's gone to so many countries. And again, he invited me to go on what he would call a junket. And we went out. And I remember one night we were in the village. I don't know if he said it on the show or not. But in Africa, it get dark early and it stay dark for a long time. And so we had went to sleep and woke up. And I woke up and it was dark. And I said, Stan, you woke? And he's like, yeah, I'm woke. And then we talked for about 2 hours. And then we got up and walked over. And it seemed like it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, but it was only like 9 o'clock at night. We went over to the hut and we talked about the electricity there, which they didn't have, but they was watching a soccer match on TV inside of the village with no electricity, but they hooked up TV wires to a battery and they were watching TV. And that was when I first saw the creativity and the African ingenuity firsthand. So I do want to say thank you for that experience, because I learned so much from that man, and he was willing to give it. He kept asking me every year, Ron, you going? I'd be like, yeah, I'm going in at last minute. I'd say no, but when I went, I went. All right, here's Stan Macklin on collaboration in heaven on earth.
When we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth. Now, we don't live on Jupiter, Mars, Saturn. We live on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And heaven is an inclusive place.
Mm-hmm.
It is a place where the former things are passed away. Okay? It's a utopia. It's something far beyond our comprehension, but it's nothing but bliss. Okay? It's not no pie in the sky, it's real. But you don't have to wait to die to go there. You can live in a state of heaven here on earth, and we will collaborate together to make a difference.
Brother Stan reminded me of an old saying I learned years ago, and have a hard time getting people to understand at first when they first hear this saying. But the saying is, he who obtains knowledge and keeps it to himself has not obtained any knowledge. And most folks will argue that the first time they hear it. They'll say, well, I learned something, and if I don't share it, that don't mean I didn't learn it. I unlearned it. No. Listen to the saying again. He who obtains knowledge, keeps it to himself, has not obtained any knowledge. Because knowledge dictates that you pass it on. You don't sit on it. You pass it on.
Right.
Or you don't understand what you just learned. You have no idea what you just learned. So it's like Brother Stan, it's our job to pass knowledge on. The only people who obtain things and try to keep it to themselves is a person that's trying to use you.
Mm.
Because they figure they know what you know not, and therefore they can try to use it against you or keep it from you. Knowledge is not, that's not knowledge. Knowledge is meant to be shared. That's what it is. It's not we share knowledge. We educate each other. Knowledge is power. We share power. We teach power. That's what we have to do. It goes on. And I like to add here, as a people, as black folk, for us to obtain that kingdom here on earth, we have to be willing to question things. We have to seek that knowledge. We have to, like the Bible said, prove all things. It says has faith, but it also says to prove all things. Because if you don't prove that it's real, if you don't prove that it's the truth, if you don't prove that the knowledge is real, then you can be deceived. You have to prove all things. And I have a question, Brother Marvin, you and I talked about it yesterday, but I'm not going to ask it today. I'm going to wait until next week's show to do that question. Okay? But that's what we have to be willing to do as a people. We have to be willing to seek that knowledge, acquire the truth, look for it. If it ain't the truth, disregard, point it out, it's not true. It's not real.
All right. All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Yes, and again, sir, the lines are open here. The rules today, the lines are open. When you're ready to talk, feel free to talk. I'm playing clips, and I am celebrating the life and legacy of my good friend and brother Stan Macklin. And so from the text line I got, you are so blessed to have such a powerful person in your life. And that is true. And so now I'm going to play a clip from Stan on unification and original kings and queens.
But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
There you have it. Original kings and queens. That's our position. That's our rightful position. And Stan said it a lot because he knew it. He went to Africa. He saw it. He saw what we lost. And he was trying to help us get it back one person at a time. And I know he helped me. All right. The lines are open again. If you want to share, we're celebrating the life and legacy of Brother Reverend Stan Macklin, my good friend and co-host. If you don't have nothing to say, I got something else to play. The lines are open.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. So I wanted to just say that I know that, you know, Brother Stan, particularly for this show, was the truth. I mean, Stan was going to tell the truth about a situation, and that clip you just played about mimicking speaks so much to his thoughts and what he talked about in terms of white supremacy, but also collaboration. I think Stan was very strategic in the way that he moved, and I've listened to you talk about, you know, Stan ever since we met, right? And I know the impact that Stan has had on your life, but
right.
He was very strategic. I think about what you tell me about the PICO group in Harrisonburg and trying to help them maneuver, right? What can allyship look like? But doing it without losing who we are as a people, doing it without losing that original kings and queens and, you know, no more getting in to fit in, that's over with. I think that creating our own blueprint for success. And I think, you know, when you unpack that getting in to fit in, it really is talking about what we've been taught to be considered normal, what we've been taught to consider white supremacy structures to be. So when you're talking about creating our own reality, you have to unlearn this reality that we've been taught, right? You have to unlearn that. And I think Stan, you know, when I think about the nuggets of wisdom of things he said in the show, if you really take time to sit and reflect and unpack on all the things he really said, it really was deep. And you really could, you know, think about putting those things into action, right? And he was about action, right? The Harriet Tubman Center, all the things he's done in Harrisonburg and beyond leaves a legacy that one of the other callers, Brother Chambers, was talking about. How do you leave a legacy? And when I think about the legacy he left, and again, I know Stan through you, and so I listen to you. I know the legacy and the impact that he's had on your life, and I thank him for that. But I thank him just for the wisdom that he's imparted on this show. As an ancestor now, I know he's looking down on us and looking in this show and agreeing and probably in the amen corner now about all of the things that we're saying, but being able to just even have that wisdom to carry on is important. And he's left such a huge impact in all the areas I think that he's probably been in. And he was a fierce prayer warrior, I'll say that too. A man of his conviction. Some people can be swayed easily any way the wind blows, if you say. I don't think he was that kind of person at all. I think that he was a man of his convictions, and I think not a lot of people these days are. When you really get down to the root of it, there's things that can sway people left or right, and I think Stan was somebody that held firm in his beliefs, and he knew who he was. And so I just honor him and say, you know, as an ancestor, thank you. He impacted, you know, the words that he said, you know, the things that he imparted on this show, I think were really important in other spaces, but just the impact and the legacy that he's left in this world, you know, it will never be the same without him. But I think that the legacy, his legacy will carry on through everything that he did. So that's all I wanted to say. And blessings and prayers to his family.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. So much. I'm going to now, if anyone else wants to say anything, I'm going to now go to a clip that Stan gave us on our uniqueness.
Well, I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be. We operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity, causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good and precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to get in, to fit into somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no. We are unique. Just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you, because you are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit for us. It's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven, and we have to walk in that. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way. So we got work
to do.
That's
so true. We got work to do. Stay and say we got work to do. And so this was not only a man who talked it, he walked it. So he is the embodiment of staying the man, because he was a real man. He was a real brother. And I'll be honest, and everybody that know, Stan and I had our differences at times, because he could be Stan. He could be direct, and he could. It's just who my brother was. And we hammered out our differences and came back together really nicely. And that's sometimes what friends do. But I just know that what he says, if you listen to it very carefully, is a blueprint, because he saw it. He knew it. He knew the direction to take. He knew how effective he could be, not only with our people, but with other people. And he used to always say, Ron, you got to be able to collaborate. You got to be able to go on the other side and get to know what they're doing, then come back and work your own stuff. He was able to show me how to network and communicate with all people. He joined a group called Better Together, and that was a group of collaboration of LGBTQ and Latino and a whole lot of other groups together that helped him in certain ways collaborate to get more of a network in the community, because that is the kind of man that Stan was. And so, again, he talked about our uniqueness and our greatness. And if anyone wants to chime in now, the line is open. Again, no one is muted. The lines will be open. You're muting yourself. If you want to say something, go right ahead. If not, I will go on to the next clip. Here it is. This is Stan Macklin on Desire.
We have the resources. We have the talent.
Yes, we do.
We have the intellect. We have the ability to achieve. Period. We just have to do it. The sister said it. That's why she said it. She said, in my journey, I couldn't realize black folks just don't get it. And that can be frustrating. But, you know, I know we don't get it. And some of us that have got it, we have become selfish to the extent that we don't share. I'm a firm believer that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when you got it, you share it. It's more blessed to give than receive. And so when we operate in the context that we are achievers, then we reproduce after our kind. We reproduce. And we just don't do that. We need to do that more. And there's no limitations on what we can do. I'm of the mindset that it all anchors in really one thing: desire.
Huh?
Everything.
Come on, brother.
It's desire. Yeah, we don't have to dare to desire. We are desire. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe and ye shall have them. Desire is the fruit of our expectation. And so we got to take our desire and allow it to become more meaningful in an everyday fashion. Desire is what it's all about. You don't have a desire, you have no will to live. So it's all with desire.
True.
And we must operate from that position of desire to achieve additional creativity.
There it is, right? Stan was talking about desire. And he would say, Rome, man, I'm on this thing called desire. You got to want it, man. You got to want it real bad. Now, this is a man that is not in the best of health, right? He, toward the end, he led a rally where he got together thousands of people in less than a day after George Floyd's murder. And he said, Ron, we got to do something. I'm going to lead a peaceful rally. And guess what? He wasn't in good health, but if you look at the clips, he's standing right there. He said, I want you to come to Harrisonburg. I want you to help me lead this rally. And I got down on my knee, and he got down on one knee, and we had everybody in Harrisonburg that was there down on one knee for George Floyd. And that is what Stan was all about. He was about a man that was about people. He was a man about compassion. He was a man about his convictions. And so I say to Stan Macklin, I love you, brother. And now I'm going to, if anybody got anything they want to share. All right. I'm going over to the next clip. There's a lot.
I've been to several third world countries, and most people in third world countries, they have one thing. They have a desire, and that desire is to come to America where they can release that desire. That's all what it's about for people. And so we have to understand that we have a desire that we just need to return back to our original state and produce, be fruitful,
exactly.
Multiply, replenish, subdue. It's not rocket scientists. I don't care about that Democrat, Republican, and I do vote. You know what I vote for? I vote for a person who I feel can carry out the office of the president.
Hello.
I'm into the office of the president. I'm not into the president. I'm into the office of the president. Because the office of the position is what that person can do. Listen, when a person understands the dynamics of any position, you can do things. I'm president of the founder president of the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center. I don't have no limitations as to what I can't do. That's right. If I have any limitations, it's because my expectation doesn't realize that I'm not tapping into my desire to produce. Right. It all boils down to desire. I desire to do this. I desire to do that. I desire to go here. I desire to go there. It's all desire. If you go back to that original story, what did that serpent tell Eve? He said, God ain't told you if you eat this fruit, you won't die. He know that if you do this, you're going to desire to be like him. So we got to understand it's all about desire. Don't let nobody kill your desire. And don't be trying to live other people's desire.
Hello,
you
for
have
that.
A desire. You was born to fulfill a desire on earth. Period.
Period. He said, period. That was Stan Macklin. And so the lines are open. We're celebrating the life and legacy of my great friend. And although he has transitioned, you can see here that his words can live on in us. So again, don't try to get in to fit in. Use desire to become the best person that you could be wherever you are. There's no limitations. You have a great history and a great heritage, and this man walked the earth and showed us how to do it. He said, I am the owner and the operator, and the only limitations that he had was the ones that he recognized that he had on himself. All right, I'm going to the lines. The lines are open.
I would add to that.
Hello?
Go ahead, Benita.
Okay. I just wanted to say, if Stan can still be positive after everything that he has seen, what excuse do we have?
Mm.
He, you know, one of the things that I think Stan constantly did was he constantly was closed what I call the belief gap. He etched at that because he believed in black people. He was not a man that just would get up and talk about things from a philosophical point of view or just give a great speech. He truly believed in black people, and he would always encourage us that you, it's in you. You got what it takes. You have the talent. You have the gift. Everything you need is inside of you. And if a man at Stan's age can still speak positively to our situation, what excuse do we have? So he was a great example of always keeping the faith and believing that we have what it takes to create the reality that we want. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. And we all know that if you called into this show, you was going to get the best of Stan Macklin. And that's what it's all about. I'm going down to 9282. The lines are now closed. I'm going to call on you. And if you don't answer, I just go to the next one. 9282, you're there. It's Empowerment Network, Marvin Roan and Stan Macklin.
Yes, sir. I'm here, brother. I just wanted to share along those lines. You know, I used to ask my students at Armstrong, I said, okay, for a dream to come true, what's the first thing you must do? And I would get all kinds of answers except for the right one, what I think is the right one anyway. And they said, okay, Mr. Chambers, for my dream to come true, what is the first thing I must do? I said, the first thing you must do is wake up, because no dream's going to come true when you sleeping. You have to come true. You have to wake up. For any prayer to be answered, you got to get off of your knees and do something.
Hello.
You've got to take some action. You know, the creativity, the greatness that's in us, we have to realize that and tap into that, as Brother Stan would say, and produce it. I remember years ago, I don't know if you ever remember, saw a show called The Beverly Hillbillies, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Beverly Hillbillies, they had Jethro. Jethro was the nut of a son. You know, he was the nutty son of a hillbilly who had struck oil and was a millionaire living in Beverly Hills, straight out of the mountains of Tennessee. And Jethro one time put the house phone in their car, in the old truck wagon they had. He put the house phone in the car and had like 2,000 feet of extension cords running from the house hookup to the car. And Uncle Jed said, boy, what you doing? He said, Uncle Jed, I want to have a phone in the car, so if you and Granny want to reach me, you can just call me when I'm driving along. And he drove off down the driveway, and you know, the cord started unraveling and so forth until he pulled it out the wall. And Uncle Jed just said, boy. You know, but what it was showing you or showing us that we didn't realize is somebody at that time was thinking about coming up with a car phone. Creating a car phone. It first has to be a thought before it can be real. It has to be in your mind to bring it forward.
That's right.
Stan would say that desire, you've got to want to do it. You think of it, you create it, you can bring it into existence, but you have to first have that thought in your mind. Everything that's on this planet that man has brought into existence was a thought in his mind. We use our greatness, our thoughts right now for someone else. We've got to see that we need to start using our greatness, our desire for ourselves, for each other. Not me. My thing is, like Brother Stan, and I think Stan falls into this category. I want to be able to say when I'm laid to rest that I did something to make this a better place.
Right.
I'm not
and he did it well.
Found it. Yes,
he
sir?
Did it well, brother. He did it well. All right. So
I've been to several third world countries, and most people
I gotta play it one more
in
time.
Third world countries, they have one thing. They have a desire, and that desire is to come to America where they can release that desire. That's all what it's about for people. And so we have to understand that we have a desire that we just need to return back to our original state and produce, be fruitful,
exactly.
Multiply, replenish, subdue. It's not rocket scientists.
Stan says it's not rocket science. All we got to do is get back to our rightful place. That is being producers. You have to produce. You have to produce in this world. I'm going to 8128. 8128, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. How you doing, brother? We're celebrating the life and legacy of Stan Macklin.
Yes, brother. I was just sitting here thinking as I was listening to some of the clips that you were playing from Stan. And just realizing how much he not only believed in us as a people, but that he spread his wisdom to try to uplift us to the point where we can start to use our minds the way that we know that we can use them. Okay, because what was clear to me every time I heard. Heard him speak was that he knew that we knew what our potential was. That a lot of times when you don't hear it, when you don't hear it from someone who really is living that wisdom, you know, you kind of doubt yourself or you don't, like you said, you don't believe, you don't have that desire to think that you can do it. You know what I'm saying? Because desire takes a desire, okay, to put something into action. And he spoke very clearly about that. And I think that what he's passed on is a legacy that we can definitely take to the, you know, take to its greatest potential. Whatever that is, whatever we as a people decide that we need to do, okay, he's laid a blueprint for us to do it. From the simplest, I mean, and in the simplest terms, in the most basic and fundamental way, okay, that we got to get up and start to do something, to start
That's right.
to work on it, okay? And he was a strong believer in doing the work. So
That's right.
He was not only in the words, but like one of the other callers said, he was the embodiment of the example of his work. And that
True.
Is something that we can definitely take and make into something that right now is laying the foundation for us to, like you said, you know, don't try to get in to fit in. Try to
That's
make
right.
your own mold. Make your own mold. Okay, whatever that is, it's going to be a sign of greatness because, like you said, we are the original people, and we are the original kings and queens that are going to make this happen. We just have to believe in ourselves and put that desire to work.
You got that right,
That's
brother.
The bottom line is. And
That's
I think
right.
that it was definitely a privilege to know that man because he definitely spent his time on this earth gathering knowledge and turning it into wisdom and putting it forth to other people. Because like you said, if you gain knowledge and you do not share it, you're never going to gain wisdom from it. So
True.
He definitely was the embodiment of those words. All right. And I
True
appreciate
that.
Knowing him through you, Marvin. So,
All
so
right.
thank you.
Thank
okay.
you, brother. Man,
right.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
All right. 6306, if you're talking, I'm listening. 6306, if you're not talking, then guess what? I'm going to another clip, and this will be the last clip of the day. 6306, going once, going twice. I'm going on over to Stan Macklin. It's Marvin Rone and Stan Macklin. It's the Empowerment Hour.
And just had a marvelous conversation with him. He's he just had his head on the right way. He said he wants to go in and major in psychology. And I said, yeah, it's a good field to go into because some people that's fallen in the cracks, through the cracks, and gotten in ruts and situations that they faced with some challenges and need somebody like you or those who are in that field to help them through that till they can further help themselves. And but there are some young people who are just, they're kind of going berserk, man. We're living in some turbulent times, which kind of is a confirmation in terms of what was on my heart about a message in terms of moving in the right direction versus direction for direction, because the times we're living in are so crucial, so critical, that we got to be on point. We got to be on point in terms of moving in the right direction, because if we don't, we will receive or be a victim of correction for direction. And the key thing is moving. And I think sometimes we don't really analyze our moving, and there's all kinds of reference to that, even to the biblical story of Lot's wife, who was instructed not to look back, and she looked back and got left back. But the thing of it is we need to monitor the direction that we're moving in. We can do that because there's some things that comes to light in doing that, such as how do we know what's the right direction? Well, it comes from testing. Testing comes. Life struggles is a way of testing us to bring out the uniqueness of us. And you can tell when you meet a unique person. They just have so much to offer, so much to give, and that comes from testing and the testing of the direction. How do we know that this is really right? And the testing is what gives the confirmation of your commitment, your dedication, consecration to that direction. Also, two people can move into the realm of, well, it feels good. It just feels good. But you can't always go by your feelings, because when you're up, you shout. When you're down, you pout. Your feelings are like, they can be sometimey. But let's face it, there are times where it does feel good. It does. And, you know, as they say, everything looks good don't necessarily feel good, whatever, vice versa. But you know, that's how some people choose their direction, that they're going in the right direction because it feels good. But that's not necessarily good in all cases, because it feels good. Because some people go out on town for the night, and they get to partying, and they get to enjoy themselves, and they feel good, but they've indulged too much. And next thing you know, you see them on the side of the curb or in the gutter throwing up, and they finally get home and so forth. They don't feel so good from the result of what was causing them to have that euphoric feeling. And so that's not always the way. But then there's just the downright gut feeling. You feel it in your gut, you know. And, you know, a lot of individuals who resort on that gut feeling, they call it intuition and so forth. I got intuition that this is the way it is, or this is what I really need to do and so forth. And you know, that gut feeling is something that I think you can kind of rely on, because it comes from deep from within. It's how you really, you just got that strong inner desire to move in that particular direction. And then one that it has some biblical connotations to it. It says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In other words, that no man is an island. you know, that direction. How do we know that we're to do what we want to do? My daughter is in the midst of moving in the right direction. Where she currently is in the city of Alexandria and so forth. And I said, well, one way to do is just pray for some strong confirmations in terms of that. And why did I tell her that? Man, she had, like, all kinds of confirmation. Her car got towed, and it caused the leverage fee to get it out, and then she got it back, and then it was because of the line. They're really strict on parking enforcement. And then today she got back in and she got a new car, but her battery was dead, and all kinds of different things was happening to let her know in terms of moving in the right direction. But sometimes just having someone to talk to or talk with, think things through, I value that. It's, you know, you call it wisdom, you call it insight, you call it foresight, but there's safety in that. It helps us to make the right decisions in terms of moving in that direction and looking before we leap, because once you leap, you're out there. And so it's very important to do that, especially in times we're doing moving in the right direction. And the other side of that, which we said, moving in the right direction versus correction for direction, correction comes. Corrections can come from within yourself. It can come from others. It can come from circumstances. It can come from right out of chaos. Now, that situation that happened out there in Santa Barbara and so forth, we know that was correction for direction, not toward the victims, but for the young man. That young man, his life is never going to be the same. He's going to receive correction. As a matter of fact, he's going to go to the house of corrections unless he does something in terms of trying to find himself by committing suicide, something like that. But, you know, correction for direction comes because it's just the will of time to try to move us in another direction. And some people don't make it because they miss it, and it's called like a misstep. It's like a misstep, and what happens is when that misstep comes, it can throw things off. Of course, off kilter. You know, the sun is faithful to its commission and its mission every day. It does it. It's faithfully. And consistency helps us out a whole lot. But when correction comes, it kind of jars us. It kind of gets our attention. And, you know, one of the beautiful things of finding you is looking within ourselves to be able to discern just what is what. And so this is something that was kind of on my heart to share today. And I don't know, you may be out there somewhere in the radio land, radio audience, and we want you to know if this touches you, then think about the movement that's going on in your life. Think about it. And you're to be a blessing. And not to take your movement for granted, because we want you to be in the right direction, and we want you to be able to help and to influence and to empower others to do likewise. And the beautiful thing is that, and I'll quote a scripture here, it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. No parent that really loves their child will refuse to give them correction for direction, and that can be in many forms. But the thing of it is, you show your love. Even in the animal kingdom, it does that. I saw the other day this young bear cub had gotten somehow out of the woods, got onto the freeway, and it was right by the curb thing. And lo and behold, here comes Mother Bear. Mother Bear. To me, you're talking about some of the seemingly humanly characteristics of animals. We know humans sometimes can act animalistic. But anyway, that mother bear looks to the left and looks to the right, cargo pass, she looks again, and then when the last car passes by, she swoops down and picks up her baby cub. and they both disappear like nothing even happened. I said, look at that mother's love. And so, God's got our best interests at heart. And that's I want to say to somebody, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, realize that the best is yet to come. And as we talked about the testing in terms of moving in the right direction, some of those other things, they can take real. But don't just trust in the good feeling or be open to the gut feeling. Yes, this is what I really feel. And don't be afraid to realize that in the multitude of counselors, there can come safety. But if all that fails, correction for direction will come. And that's my word for today, brother. That's
the wisdom of my brother Stan Macklin. As we bring this show of celebrating my brother and his wisdom, all right, take something from it, share it with a friend, and as we continue to move forward with his wisdom, I say, don't get in to fit in. Have desire. Understand what you're here to do. Know your rightful place. If you mess up or you make a mistake or have a misstep, know that there will be correction for direction. There are limitations and there are expectations. You are a unique person. This is all that he told us. This is all that he taught us. This is all that he shared. And so I say today, as I wrap it up, thank you, Stan Macklin, for being the great, great man that you are. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for showing me love. Thank you for showing me what commitment to our people is about. Thank you for showing me what family means. Thank you for teaching me how to be a man. Thank you for showing me how it feels to be in the motherland, to be able to take that step back home, that somebody said, welcome home, brother. And they treated me like a dignitary, that I'd never been treated like that before in my life. And so as we end this show today, I say thank you, Reverend Stan. Thank you for the blessing that you are, have been, and your contribution to our community. May your words come to our community, that we will never be the same, and that through sweat equity, collaboration, and commitment, we can change. We can change. We can change. So that's it for today. And as I sign off, it's Marvin Rose. And stay back. Proverbs 365. 365 days. Motivation. Person through a Proverbs. Peace.